Evening, everybody. Today was visiting day in camp. I'm a concerned parent. Right, I was there, and yeah. And whatever, the traffic and was unbearable, and lost GPS signal. I guess that's, you know, a sign. Maybe we also have lost our GPS and our sense of direction, really. Something to always have to learn from whatever befalls you. Tonight ushers in the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av. It's, you know, sadly because people are recovering from the 3 weeks and rushing off to the country. This holiday doesn't get its, you know, its proper attention that it's due. I mean, the Gemara says at the end of Tanis, it's Lo Yom Tov Yisrael Ki Yom HaKippurim V'Tu B'Av. These are two happiest days of the year. Tu B'Av that comes in tonight and Yom Kippur. Two happiest days. You know, for reasons that we'll explain in a second. But there was an interesting custom that on these 2 days, the maidens of Yerushalayim, you know, used to put on, wear white, and do some type of a dance in the vineyards. And anyone who did not have a wife, you know, would go there, you know, to find a shidduch. So it's very interesting as to why this is. You know, these 2 days they had this custom. So, you know, the understanding the simcha, you know, and why, you know, it's a day of shiduchim, Tu B'Av. So the Gemara says a few things happen on this day. So one of the things that happened was that the, you know, just a few weeks ago, we read in Parshat HaShavua the whole story of Bnot Tzlafchad. You know, they wanted to take their father's inheritance because he did not leave a male descendant. Okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they're right and they deserve that inheritance. So in the next week's parsha, so the people from their tribe said, listen, if they're going to now marry men from another tribe, so our resources of Shevet Yosef are going to go, you know, out of Shevet Yosef, and it's going to become part of the Nachala of a different Shevet. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's right, you know, the Bnot Tzlafchad have to marry within their own tribe. And it was understood that that should be the halacha, that women have to marry within their own tribe, so as, you know, in the event that they're the heirs for a nachala, it shouldn't go from Shevet to Shevet. And that was considered to be the normative halacha. And on the day of Tu B'Av, I don't know which year, but it doesn't say, but on the day of Tu B'Av, they found a source to prove that that was a special injunction for that generation alone. But in subsequent generations, Huchu Ashvatim Lovo Zebazet, the tribes are allowed to marry with each other. Which, I guess, that already raises a connection to why it's a day of Shiduchim. But then there's another interesting halacha regarding Shiduchim. Everyone knows the tragic story that happened in the days of the judges, of Pilegesh Begiva. A woman was, a concubine was taken forcibly, and it caused a civil war between Shevet Binyamin and the other Shvatim, and they excommunicate Shevet Binyamin that we don't marry with Shevet Binyamin, and that was thought to be the halacha forever until on a Tu B'Av in 1 year they found a source to prove that again that was only supposed to be temporary, it was not going to be forever. So two interesting halachas that got overturned on Tu B'Av, both having to do with Shiduchim. And then another two things that the Gemara tells us happened that, you know, don't, it's hard to see the common denominator with the first one we just mentioned, is that, you know, Yeravam ben Nevat, you know, the one who seceded from the kingdom of Judah and caused Am Yisrael to splinter into two kingdoms, Yehuda and Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat set up, you know, roadblocks to stop people from going on Aliyah L'Regel. Right. On this day of Tu B'Av, a later king of Israel, Hoshea, he abolished the roadblocks. Right? The Hoshea ben Lov was Mevatel the Prosdiot, Shoshiv Yoram ben Navat, and he gave people a choice. Now it's your choice whether you want to serve, you know, whatever Avodah Zarah they were serving in the kingdom of Israel, but you're free to go Aliyah L'Regel also. And that happened on a Tu B'Av. And the last thing, to the best of my memory, that Chazal count happened on Tu B'Av was that they discovered that the, you know, everyone knows from the stories of Churban HaBayit, the terrible tragedy, that Beitar, like an amazing amount of people were murdered there, you know, as the Gemara tells us in Gittin. So on Tu B'Av, the Gemara in Dinus tells us, they discovered that all those people murdered, not only did they not decompose, but subsequently they were Zocha L'Kvura. They had an honorable burial. An amazing thing, right? That, you know, that even though they were, you know, massacred, they were Zocha Hatov. And with that, Chazal instituted the Bracha of Hatov V'Ameitiv that we have at the end of benching, the fourth Bracha of Birkat HaMazon, right? After Bonei Yerushalayim, that got instituted, that bracha, and we also make a short version of it on hearing good news. You get something good, like, let's say, Yerusha, that you're going to share with a few people, or having a male child, right? Or trading up wine. You go from a wine that's okay, right, and you haven't finished the bottle yet, but you're trading up to a better wine. In all those instances, you make Ha'atov V'Hametiv. God is good and does good. And that was all instituted in response to the miracle that they saw, that the Haruge Beitar, Lo Hisrichu V'Nitnu L'Kvura, they did not decompose, and they were also given over, you know, they were Zochet to burial. An amazing thing, you know, that for that reason, Chazal were metakin the bracha v'atov v'ametiv, was something which we make on unbelievable joy. The Gemara tells us that in this world, you know, there are times we say, Baruch Dayan HaEmet, when things don't go the way we want, right? But in the next world, in the world that's kulo tov, in olam haba, it's only hatov v'ametiv. That bracha got instituted on Tu B'Av, but in response to seemingly, you know, a strange event, right, that the Haruge Beitar, Lo Hisrichu V'Nitnu L'Kvura, and we just have to understand why they saw tremendous joy in that, and that all has to fit with abolishing the roadblocks to go to Har HaBayit for Aliyah L'Rego, and, you know, again, overturning the two halachot that kept, you know, Shevet Binyamin separate from the rest of the tribes of Israel, or the earlier halacha of keeping all tribes separate, that they're not allowed to intermarry with each other. Okay, so I want to raise a question. All right, in the first two out of four, so we said that they found sources to overturn the halacha of the tribes not intermarrying, and they found a source to overturn the halacha of Shevet Binyamin not marrying with the other tribes. Now I can understand. Right, the Shevet Binyamin was, they were being fined, they were being punished because of their role in the civil war. I get it, right? So, and then we decided that the punishment is too, you know, it shouldn't be for all generations. I got it. But the first case, right, that's biblical. God himself said to the Benot Slavcha, they're not allowed to marry into other tribes. And then, you know, you have to, sometime later, different time, different place, they found on Tu B'Av a way to overturn that. And now the Shvatim can intermarry. Right? You know, why was the Torah, like, you know, set up that way? That, no, keep separate, and then you have to find a source to bring it together. Matter of fact, what do we need the whole tribe business to begin with, right? You divide up, you know, a nation. They just got liberated from slavery into 12 tribes, right? And they were very machpid on that in the desert. Right, that you know, as you know from multiple parshas in the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu goes through the lineage of the different tribes, which mishpacha came from which shevet, and each shevet is, you know, counted separately, and not only that, they're camped around the Mishkan separately, you know, by the Degalim. You know, there were four groups of three camped around the Mishkan, each one with their own flag. What are you doing that to the people for? Right, you know, they've been in slavery for 210 years. They probably forgot, if not for the fact that they were reminded. Right, they probably forgot which tribe they were from. Right, and then Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, you know, set up everyone's yichus, right, to make sure everyone remembers what tribe they're on, and they bring back tribalism. Why do you want to bring tribalism? Why do you want that? Right, and tribalism, and then you're happy that subsequently later you find a way to, you know, walk it back so they could marry with each other. Don't set up the tribalism to begin with. So, you know, there is one more thing that I neglected to mention. Right, that, and it also counts as one of the happy things that happened, on this day. You know that after the sin of the spies, which is the thing that thrust us into the whole idea of Tisha B'Av, you know, the spies that came back and spoke back bad about Eretz Yisrael, they came back on Erev Tisha B'Av. Va'ilono am ba'alayla hu, and they cried all that night. That night was Tisha B'Av night. God says, Atem b'chitem b'chiya shel chinam, ani ikvachem b'chiya l'dorot. You cried for nothing. I'm going to give you something to cry for all generations. And that laid down the precedent of Tisha B'Av. You know, that generation already laid down like the crack. That Tisha B'Av is a day that bad things are prone to happen on. All right, so everyone knows that the direct decree that came as a result of that sin was that whole generation has to die in the desert. All right? For 40 years, that's why they had to move around for 40 years, ad tom kol adorahu, until that whole generation ceased to exist, and the next generation could go into the land of Israel. All right? So Gemara says that on Tu B'Av, they stopped dying, meaning the actual, you know, they understood that the 40 years were up, right? That on Tu B'Av, they stopped dying. Tosfos explains by bringing some midrashim that what does that mean? You know what they did, Tosfos brings, based on midrashim, that every year on Tisha B'Av, they dug their graves and they went to sleep, right? And that's how it happened, right? You know, the ones that woke up in the morning, you know, were the ones that had another year to live. You know, and the ones that didn't wake up, you know, so like Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of when they did the sin, was the day that a whole another level was whacked off. And that's how it happened gradually over 40 years. Every Tisha B'Av, they dug their graves. You know, the people of that generation went to see, you saw who woke up the next morning, who got another year of life. So, came one year, everyone woke up. Okay, so they thought they must have made a mistake, you know, with the date. All right, so they went back to sleep in their graves the next night. Everyone woke up. All right, so they thought there must have been a mistake. Until they saw the full moon, which is on Tu B'Av, they realized they didn't make a mistake. The Gzeirah is over. All right, and that's one of the things also that we're happy about on on Tu B'Av. Now, it's very, very interesting. Right, that Chazal, you know, that generation viewed it as if the decree was like overturned on Tu B'Av. Why overturned? Look, it was for 40 years. It expired. It just wore out. There's as a Yom Shekolu Mesei Midbar. It's a day that they stopped dying. Well, they stopped dying. It was like it was for 40 years. They went through the 40 years. You know, time's up. They viewed it as like as if it was overturned. So, everyone knows that in the future, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on Tisha B'Av. All right, so now, you know, that means that when, if let's say the Beit HaMikdash is open for business, you know, first day is Tisha B'Av. So now we celebrate. We celebrate for 7 days, Shivat Yemei Mishteh. So the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th. Comes out that the 15th of Av is destined to be the day that we finish, you know, the 7 days of inaugurating the third Beit HaMikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. Right? So now that's what the Mishnah says, that even back on Tu B'Av, the woman used to sing, Tzura, the Pasuk for Shir Shem, Tzura Ba'atar Shitra Lo Imo, see the King Shlomo, the crown that his mother gave him, B'yom Chatunato, U'B'yom Simchat Libo, B'yom Chatunato was Yom Kippur. Right? The days of marriage were first Yom Kippur, the giving of the Torah, when the Torah was given to us after we were forgiven for the sin of the golden calf, which is what ushers in the 3 weeks. Right? We got the second Luchot on Yom Kippur. U'B'yom Simchat Libo, Zeu Binyan Beit HaMikdash, which, you know, to mean the finality of the of celebrating the rebuilding of the temple, right? It'll hit its high point on the 15th of Av, B'mehera B'yameinu. So the question is like this. Why is it apropos? And that's why everyone knows we didn't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av, because it's going to be a Yom Tov. Why should it be a Yom Tov? It's a terrible day. You should think that we'd want to put the rebuilding of the temple on the opposite side of the calendar, to not have it like associated in any way, you know, no bad memories, you know, because this day where two temples were destroyed. And we say, no. This is going to be the time when the temple is rebuilt and the festivities reach their grand finale on Tu B'Av. sort of, the question I'm raising really falls in line with the idea that they viewed it that on Tu B'Av people stop dying from the chet of the Meraglim, right? On Tu B'Av, right, they instituted the Bracha V'Tov V'Ameitiv because the Haruge Beitar didn't decompose and got Kvura. It's sort of like bittersweet, seeing the sweet in the bitter. It's something to think about. But the truth is like this. Right, the imagine if the Meraglim came back and the people would have not listened to the 10 guys who were bad-mouthing Eretz Yisrael. They would have listened to Yoshua and Kalev. What would have happened? Right? Alternate timeline. Right? Which is what they should have done. They shouldn't have received, you know, bin mekabod lashon hara. They should have listened to Kalev and Yoshua. What would have happened on Tisha B'Av? Would have gone into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. And that was the original plan. That was the design. I mean, Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't banking on us listening to the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. He was banking on us being good and listening to the people who were telling the truth. Okay? So that means by design, Av was supposed to be the happiest month of the year. That's the way God wired it up. That if things would have gone according to plan, would have gone to Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu on Tisha B'Av. The very next day, we would have gone in. Right? Means that Av, by the way God created the months and the mazalot that God set up, Av is supposed to be a good month. Right? So now there's a very interesting, you know, everyone's heard of the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah talks about, you know, it sets up how all the 12 months of the year are parallel to the 12 letters of the alphabet that do not have a dagesh, right? The hey, vav, zayin, chet, tet, etc. You know, so without getting into all the details, what concerns me is the month of Av. It says about the month of Av, himlich ot tet b'shmiya. That the month of Av, what reigns, the power that reigns is the letter Tet in hearing. What does that mean? Letter Tet in hearing. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, you know, points out a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama says if a person dreams and sees a letter Tet in his dream, so before you go to bed tonight, think Tet, 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 right? Because, no, I'm serious. Because the person sees a simen, a letter tet, in his dream, simen yafeulo, it's a good sign. Ho v'patach bo akatuv l'tova, because the first time we find the letter tet in the Torah is in the word tov. In the words, v'yaro kim et ha'or ki tov. That's the first time you have the letter tet. Letter tet was not in the Torah prior to that. The first time the letter tet appears in the Torah scroll is by the word tov. And since the word the Torah opened up with it with goodness, that means Tet is good. So if you see the letter Tet in your dream, you're good. Right, literally, you're good. Right. So now that pasuk, Va'alkim et Or Ki Tov, what's that talking about? What does Rashi say there? Rashi says that light was like really good. That was the or that it's not befitting for the Rishaim to enjoy that or. So it says, meaning after that, Vayavdel Elohim ben Or ben Achor, he separates from the light and the darkness. He put that light in Geniza. That's the Or HaGanuz. That's the hidden light. That's the light of the future, where we pray for Or Chadash al Tzion Tayir. Right? There should be a new light. All these prayers about the new light. We're talking about this very, very beautiful light that was so beautiful that God wanted to save it for the future, so the Rishaim should not enjoy it in this world. That's what that letter Tet refers to. This or that Akash Baruch Hu put, it's the or hagonos, which is the real, real goodness that we're waiting to have revealed to us in the future. All right? So this real right that's, you know, now ganuz, what's our connection to it? It's hidden, right? It's like too good for this world because we don't want the Rishayim to enjoy it. So what's our connection to it? You can't see it. So you hear about it, like I'm telling you about it, right? Right? Chazal tell us about it. Right? And that's what it means, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen, Himlech Ot Tet Bishmia. It's the light that's too good to see. You can only hear about it. How God has, it's being promised to you for the future. Right? the Chodesh of Av was meant to be like the most glorious, glorious month on the calendar. Now, what's right now the most glorious month on the calendar? There's two months that are pretty good.
Adar
and Nisan. As a matter of fact, it's right here in this Gemara also that says that just like Mishenichnas Av Mimatim Besimcha, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. Now it's very interesting that the two are coined together. It's the same halacha. Just like when Av comes in, you have to mitigate your simcha up to, you know, Tisha B'Av. So also when Adar comes in, you have to increase your simcha. Now they're coined, you know, they're mentioned the same. Right? And Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, Rashi says, it's not just because of Purim. It's because of Purim and Pesach. And Pesach, Rashi says. Because Adar is just, it's just goodness straight through Nisan. Now the truth is, when Haman threw the lots, right, he was happy, right? Came out on Adar, he was overjoyed, Gemara tells us, because he thought it's our bad month, right? Because Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar, right? And, you know, Adar, Dagim, you know, fish get swallowed. I'm going to swallow them, right? You know, I'm going to swallow them. All right. Was he right or was he wrong? Haman.
Wrong.
Hmm?
Wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. Let's compromise. He was right initially, and then he was wrong. Because the Megillah says there was HaChorish Asher Nefach Lehem Me'ever L'Yom Tov. Right? The month changed. The truth is like this. Right? Adar was really a bad month for us at the time that Haman threw the lots. Right? But we did tshuva me'ava, and with the power of tshuva, we rewired Adar. Right? But you know, that type of tikkun that we did for Adar is the type of damage we did to Av. And that's why the two are coined together. That just like Misha nichras ha'mimatim simchan, it's your fault. You made the mazel of the month bad, and that's why you don't wait for Tisha B'Av, for the Avil. You might be simcha from the minute the mazel starts, because you wired it, you know, to be a bad month, right? But also, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, because we're the ones, you know, we don't have to wait for Purim. The simcha starts immediately with the mazel of the month, because we made it a good month, right? So Av was supposed to be a great month. We're the ones who made it bad. Now Adar is a good month, because we made it good. But then there's a month that was good because God made it good. That's Nisan, right? The Gula, right? God took us out, you know, we weren't worthy of it, but, you know, he decided that's the month of the Gula, right? And that, you know, and there's a Shita and the Gemara, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Atidin Ligael, right? We are destined to be redeemed again in the month of Nisan. God made that a good month. So Nisan is Chodesh Ha-Aviv, right? So now I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik V'Karosh L'Vracha, right, that in Lashon HaKodesh, whenever you double the last letter, that means small. Like katan is small. Katantan, that's very small. That which we call in Avodah Zarah a Elil, Elilim, we're actually making fun of little God. No, it's Kel, right, God, right? Elil, Ketchko, right? Little God. You know, we're making fun of it, right? So, once you have that in mind, what does Aviv mean? Nisan Chodesh Aviv. What? So it means the spring, but now I said when you double lesser, it means small. It means Nisan was little Av. Av was supposed to make Nisan look small by comparison. It's supposed to be an unbelievable month, right? The month that's like, you know, almost too good to have in this world. And that's why there's a challenge. You know, the Gemara says in Brachot, that give them matanot tov and natan chosh l'yisov, v'kulam lo natanam ela ayedei yesurim. There are three good gifts that God gave us, but he gave it through us through pain. Right? And that's Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. These are three things that, you know, these are the best gifts that God gave us, and it's not easy. It's not easy, right? Torah learning, that's hard. It's not easy, right? Eretz Yisrael, never been easy, right? You know, to acquire the conquest, the living, the surviving, right? And to earn Olam Haba. So says the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, says, you know, why Yisurim? Like, just, you know, make it the perfect present that not only that is it good, but it's easy. said, no, right? This is like so good that, you know, it's an acquired taste. It's like the stuff that's really good, you know, small goodness, you know, even a child could appreciate things that are sweet, you know, things that have sweet little nothings. What's really, really, really good, you have to build, you know, build up a taste for it, build up a capacity to contain it. Right, this is like super good, and that's why you need the Yisurim, right? Which, you know, which means two things. First of all, because it's so good, it's higher than what you could comprehend, and when you don't appreciate what's going on, because you don't understand it, that's called painful. We don't know what's going on. But it's also from you, you got to build up your, you got to refine your eyes, refine yours, refine your taste to appreciate it. Something that's really good is an acquired taste. The stuff that's simple, that's stuff that anyone can appreciate. You know, the sophisticated things are acquired taste, we know. And certainly much so, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. And the month of Av is like that also. And that's why there's a big challenge. Like the Meraglim came, you know, 10 out of 12 didn't know how to appreciate Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know how to appreciate what they saw, right? Only Kalev and Yoshua had, you know, they had bigger perceptions, and it didn't come to them easily. Moshe Rabbeinu davened for Yoshua, as you know, and added a letter to his name. Kalev, he made a detour to daven at Marat HaMachpelah. They had special help to appreciate what they were seeing. Right? Things are so good, right? That's such good that you can't easily see and appreciate. You just hear about it. I inform you that it's good, but that you should see it and you should feel it takes a lot of work. Right? And that's the challenge that we face. Right, sometimes when things are so good, if you don't know how to appreciate it, it feels terrible. You know, like the first time you had your dry red wine. You guys drink dry red, right? Right. What was it like the first time? Right. 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 No, first time. Right. Yeah. Good for you. Right. Right. No. Most people are not like that. Till you refine and you learn. Right? Same thing with Torah. I mean, that, you know, the Torah is called like wine, and I'm not just saying that because Hatova Meitiv that we're talking about is a bracha that you make on wine when you start trading up. Right? Torah, you know, when you first start learning how to learn, it's hell. Right? It's really, really hard. Right? Until once you learn, as we call in Yeshiva, knowing how to learn, and you know not just how to translate, but you know how to infer and how to make sense, it's unbelievable. Right? But it's work. It's work to acquire. Ruchaniyut, right? Right? Anything that's spiritual, that's not a base physical pleasure, it takes, you know, it's an acquired taste. Right? Right? And so, but everything that the month of Av has to offer is an acquired taste. Right? And if you acquire a taste for it, it's unbelievable. And we're not going to have a full taste for it until the future. But you can understand that, you know, that's why, you know, when something is so good that you don't know how to appreciate it, it could easily feel like the worst thing because you don't know how to appreciate it. If you don't know how to appreciate it, you could actually, you know, rebel against and say you don't want it, like they did with Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, that's very much the, you know, if, when you really think about it, right, the what makes something special. Right, what makes something special is that it has its unique definition. Now, so I'll tell you something very interesting, right? To define something, what do you mean to define something? It means, you know, it's within these parameters, right? Whether this is its shape, this is its color, this is how you describe it, any other description would be false. You know what that's called in, you know, speaking a little bit philosophically? That's called din, judgment. You say, it's like this, but it's not like that. Right, yeah, that happened to me today. Happened to me all day. Right, like I said, it's a sign from heaven. You know, have we lost our GPS to, you know, learning about, you know, appreciation and sense of direction? Right. The right. That's din. Right. The you know, the you know, to legislate that it's like this and this is its definition in Chesed. There's no, you know, there's no distinctions in chesed. You give to everyone equally whether they deserve it or not. In din, there's distinction. If there's such a thing as colors and differences, variety, that's in din, not in chesed. Chesed doesn't know distinctions, right? You know, that's the problem with, you know, where equality, you know, sometimes goes awry, right? That nothing is special and nothing is unique, right? You know, so you have to give equal, you know, equal rights, but not, you know, make everything the same. The same is, you know, everything loses its speciality, right? You know, that's the big gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, right? That he made things different from each other. They have a wonderful world, a lot of shapes and colors, right? and that's part, and of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything for our good, and that's part of the goodness. And that's really, you know, we said the acquired taste is the stuff that's really, really good, right? Chesed is easy to appreciate. Dinim, that's the acquired taste. To understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, legislated things, made rules, but those rules make definitions and make categories and make colors and shapes and different functions that makes the diversified world that we have. When we learn to appreciate the goodness in Din, oh, that's the real, real goodness. That's the hidden light. That's the acquired taste that we need to have. And when we see that even the dinim are a chesed and a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, that's the level that, you know, will be apparent when that hidden light is revealed. Right? Bezrat Hashem b'mehera b'yameinu. Right? Right? But the point that I'm getting to is that, you know, that which feels unappreciated, that which you don't appreciate, that's, you feel, to you it feels like din. And you know what? It probably is din because it has its unique programming that makes it so hard to appreciate. You have to develop a taste for it, right? But that falls through. That means deep down, it's super good. So I want to start with Haruge Beitar, right? And then we're going to work to marriage. And then you understand why marriage is, you know, the way it is, right? Haruge Beitar. Right, they were able to see the chesed within the din. It was a terrible tragedy, right? But then, you know, but if a tragedy is, as we say, just pure loss, right? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done this tremendous miracle that the corpses didn't, you know, decompose, and they were zocha subsequently to kvura, and that God was showing a sign that even the dinim are for our own good. It's not vengeance, right? It's because we needed it, because sadly it was necessary. And he sent us a sign by showing that even within this tragedy, there was divine grace. And that's where they understood, hatov v'ametiv, the special double good. Because tov, which is the tov that we know, the tov that's easy to appreciate, that's just single tov. Hatov v'ametiv, the double tov, that's when you see the goodness that there is even in the dinim. Right? Right? And, you know, the hidden goodness. The hidden goodness is the special, special, special deep goodness that you have to build a taste for. Right? And that's the power of the month of Av. Right? So that's what it means also on the month of Av, you know, the Meisei Midbar, right? The generation that was told to perish in the desert, you know, decreed upon them to perish in the desert, they understood that on Tu B'Av, right, on that, when we reached the middle of the month of Av, they understood, you know, how it was necessary, that this generation could not in any way have made it in the land of Israel, you know, and under the Hanhaga of Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, only though the generation of Yoshua was fit for it. They understood the master plan, right? Some, you know, as we said in the title of Shir, some of the love breathes through. You smell the love, you know, through the din. They're able to appreciate how it had to be this way. There was no other way. It was for our benefit, being that things worked out the way they worked out. This was the only way forward. Right? But now we come to marriage. Right? We said on these 2 days, right, they overturned halachot, right, that kept the tribes separate. They found a way to overturn these halachot, right, legitimately. Right? They found a remez in the psukim, right, that legitimately found that it was only temporary, wasn't meant to be forever. And we asked the question, so why the tribalism to begin with? If you ultimately want the tribes to intermarry, why'd you set up the tribalism to begin with? But, so there's an interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. Right? Mishnah everyone knows. Machloket shi l'shem shamayim sofal yikayem. If a people disagree, but it's l'shem shamayim, that machloket will endure. Won't be resolved. like the machloket Hillel and Shammai, as opposed to the machloket Korach v'Chodato, right? Then you know that it got resolved pretty quickly. It goes, you know, Korach got swallowed up. You know, it's the end of the dispute. It's over, right? And Hillel and Shammai, we're learning Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai until this very day, right? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. There's such a thing as machloket. There's divergence. L'shem Shammai explains the Maharal. If God would have only created one thing, that's not the glory of God. He can only create one thing. He's a specialist. He only do one thing. The fact that God could create such a diverse world that even has in it the mutually exclusive, the fire and the water, the spiritual and the physical, that's the greatness of God. That shows that he is kol yachol, truly of infinite ability, that if God wanted to show us his glory, that we could appreciate him, and in binen and miziv hashchina, so he wanted to do something really impressive, and that's creating different things, things that are different from each other. It should be machloket. They are different. They diverge from each other, but l'shem shamayim, for the sake of God displaying his glory and his infinite ability, and with that, and we get tremendous pleasure seeing that, you know, enjoying that hasaga, right, that comprehension about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It gives us a dveikut to his infinite ability, realizing his infinite ability. So making things bedafka different, right, right, is l'shem shamayim, right, a God showing all the amazing different things that he can do. And that's why there are 12 tribes of Israel, connected to 12 months of the year, that Am Yisrael has to represent in a microcosm all the diversity that there is in the Briah. How did we start off? How did we start off as 70 people? B'shivim nefesh yodu avasecha Mitzrayim, right? Yaakov came to Mitzrayim with 70, right? 70 people. Wasn't a coincidence. The pasuk says in Parshat Haazinu, Yatzev gvulot amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. God divided up the nations by the door, by the plagah, by the door of plagah. Gvulot amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael. God made them 70 nations, knowing that in the future Yaakov would have 70 kids. It's a pasuk. Not even a medrash, it's a pasuk. Yatzev gvulot amim lemispar b'nei Yisrael, right? Because that's the secret of shivim panim latorah. Every nation has its own you know, headspace, their own culture, their own way of looking at things, right? The original 70. I mean, some of that are in the UN are just not even worth mentioning, right? But the original 70, 70 different angles to an issue, right? And Am Yisrael has all of them. That's why we start off with 70 members. And not only that, where do we have 70? In the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is 70. Now, of course, there's 70 members of the big, big grand rabbinical court. We add one, that should be a tiebreaker, so it's 71. But it's Shivim Keneged, the Shivim Panim LaTorah Keneged, the 70 nations. Am Yisrael, which is God's people, we reflect all the diversity that there is in the Bria. That's why, two Jews, three opinions. Right? Sorry. That's our job, you know. There's so much diversity amongst us, and it's all a shame shamayim, right? But of course, you know, all that diversity has to come together, and that's another mishnah of us. Knesia she l'shem shamayim sof l'iskayim, an ingathering. If it's l'shem shamayim, it could endure, as opposed to the migdal bavel. It wasn't l'shem shamayim. That's why it dispersed, right? That means shem shamayim is what divides us. Shem shamayim is what comes in. Reunites us, right? We should be 12 separate tribes, l'shem shamayim, but we're also supposed to get back together, l'shem shamayim. Where did that happen? Every year, three times a year, in the Beit HaMikdash. All the 12 tribes, there were 12 gates, they all came, each from his unique direction, and they all meet at the temple, which is Hamakom Ashiv Char Hashem l'shaken Shmo Sham. It's called that the divine name rests there. That the Shem Shamayim is like the It's what holds us together, right? That it's also, it shows that our unity is a divine unity, right? Jews don't get along because they're from, you know, the same place with the same culture and the same language. You know, Jews don't get along for that reason, right? Because we're not. We've been this Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Litayim, Hasidim, right? What makes us one nation is Shem Shemayim, because we just worship the same God. You know, we're totally culturally different, and it was always that way. You know, the Arizal says there were 12 nuschot of tefillah. Every shevet had its own nusach tefillah. And you know, Ashkenaz is the remnants of the nusach tefillah of Shevet Binyamin. And Sfarad is the remnants of the nusach tefillah of Shevet Yehuda. That's what it says in Kitvei Rabbeinu Ari. Right? It was always meant to be that way. There was always supposed to be diversity, right? And that should be that the unity is not like a shallow unity of because we think alike and we act alike and we live in the same neighborhood. No. The unity should be based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only He is going to be what holds the Jewish people together, because they all worship Him, and that'll be what binds us together. It means our Achdut is actually a revelation of divine power. Right? So Am Yisrael is a mini universe that God's, think about this, God's universe. He created a lot of different things, and yet the cosmologists are mystified how the cosmic forces don't cancel each other out. Right? Fire and water, there are all types of opposing. Everything is, there's diversity, and it's one universe, and still, even though it's one universe, the forces don't negate each other. Everything like holds together, the fire and the water, right? It holds together as a united universe without the things negating each other. It's amazing. It's Machloka L'Shem Shamayim and Knesiyah L'Shem Shamayim, and Am Yisrael is supposed to represent, be a microcosm of all that. And that's why there should be tribes, and initially the tribes should be separate. And that's din, like we said, everything in its definition. And then pulling it all together, and you come to an achdut that's not based on shallow reasons. It's an achdut that's based on pure divine power. We could unite these different pieces because we all serve the same God. And that's the fiber that binds the Jewish people together. Right? Not secular nationalism and not cultural likeness, because we don't have that. Right? It never was based on that. Right? So initially apart and then held together by divine unity. In small, that's marriage. Zohar and Nekeva. Right? It could not have been more different than each other. Right? And yeah, it's supposed to be that way, really. Very different. You know, how do I say? Men from Mars and women from Venus. Right? Did I get it right? Is that correct? Right. Yeah. Right. It's really different universes. Right? But, you know, it's not, you know, not at all the same and shouldn't be the same. And shouldn't be the same. Purposely different. Right? And you know, and the difference between Zohar and Akeva is totally represented in the differences that we have in between Shamayim and Aretz. Everyone knows that the word Ish has the letter Yud in it. The word Isha has the letter Hey. Right? And everyone knows the famous Gemara in Menachos. Ki beka Hashem, Tzur Olam, with the name Ka, Hashem fashioned two worlds. That with the letter Yud, He made the higher worlds, the spiritual worlds. With the letter Hey, He made the lower worlds. Right? And that means that the coming together of Ish v'Isha, He has the Yud and She has Hey, is like the coming together of heaven and earth, right? Making unity between opposites. But you know that? You know that that's meant to be, because even in the individual human being, there's a soul from heaven and a body from earth. Right? That's the unique role of man, you know, which was handed to Adam Arishon, subsequently given over to Am Yisrael, Besod, what the Pasuk says, Atem Kuriyim Adam, Chazal say, Atem Kuriyim Adam, Vena Akum Kuriyim Adam, we are the real, you know, heirs to the legacy of Adam, that is to create cosmic unity between opposites, right? So in the individual, it's his neshama and his guf, right? And in the bigger picture, it's Zohar and Nekeva. Different, right? And the unity between them is purely divine, because it makes no sense, right? And if not, it's hell. It's like what we said about the good that you got to learn to appreciate, and if you don't get the acquired taste, it's hell, right? So Chazal say this: Zochu Shechina Shruya Beinayim. If they merit, the divine presence is in between them, because it's what's holding them together. God is holding them together. Lo Zochu Esh Ochaltam. Because the Yud from Ish and the Hay from Isha leave, and you're just left with the word Esh, double fire, like Chorban HaBayit, like we say, broken home. That's why the Agadot of Chorban HaBayit are Masechet Gittin. It's like a cosmic divorce, Chorban HaBayit, broken home, like we say. So if it works, it's heaven, literally, heaven, it's with heavenly power. And if it doesn't work, right, it's hell. And that's why. It's because they're so different. And with this, you can understand two gemarot in Masechet Brachot. They're mentioned one after the other. Kol mesameach chasam v'kala, kilu hikriv toda. It's as if you brought a korban toda. Right? You bring a korban todah in exactly the circumstance that we've been describing. You got your fat pulled out of the fire. Korban todah, like you were in a sakana, and a kodesh baruch hu, you know, and you felt God's love. Even there was you were in dinim, you were surrounded, there was a judgment against you, God intervened, scooped you out of there. So you bring a korban todah, right? Because you saw the goodness even within the dinim, that there was obviously dinim upon you, but a kodesh baruch hu pulled you out of it. So you say thank you, right? That's what the word todah also means, to admit, like hoda'ah, because there was a sticky situation, but you admit that it was really for the good. You admit that good, you could easily deny it, but you admit that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when in the Korban Torah, you bring chametz and matzah, you bring opposites, right? Because you admit that it's from God, who could even hold together opposites, and even in the dinim is doing chasadim, hidden within the dinim. Right, so mesameh chasam v'kala, they're also opposites, says the Maharal, like chametz and matzah, and you admit that it's all from a kosher who could create opposites and pull the opposites together, and that's when you see the chasadim within the dinim, like when you have your fat pulled out of the fire, whenever a nes happens to you. Generally, when a nes happens to you, that's exactly what was going on. You were in terrible danger, and something, right? You see the chasadim within the dinim, right? You see the opposites, the chesed with the din, and that's like the zachar within the keva. But then there's another one called Mesameh Chasam Akal Kilu Bana Achat Michorvot Yerushalayim. It's like you rebuild the ruins of Jerusalem. Because in of Bin Yerushalayim, you should know that the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, was, you know, a microcosm of the whole universe. And the way that we built the Mishkan, and every component represents something else in the cosmos. Right, the Mishkan and the Mikdash represented the whole universe, and the way we build it is like putting all the cosmic forces in unison. And that's where it's over there, it's Mokom of Shem Shemayim that holds it all together. Makes things special, Machlok of Shem Shemayim, makes things unified, Knesi of Shem Shemayim, and that's how Mokom Ashiv Harshem Lishaken Shmo Sham. Right? And it's that way also in the Zachar and the Teva together. That's why it's called a Beit HaMikdash. It's called a Bayit. Beito Zu Ishto. We find throughout Chazal. Your wife is called your home. This is called God's home. He's like the husband. Am Yisrael that built the home for him, made his home for him. We're like his wife. That's the cosmic unity. Right? And then with this you can understand something. What the famous Chazal, everyone knows, that a empress asked one of the Tanaim, what is God doing ever since he created the world? He says, Mizaveg Zivugim. He's making Shiduchim. He says, I could do that too, right? All right, so she lined up all her Avadim and all her Shvachot, all her servants and maidservants. All right, Bas Ploni Leploni, right? And the next day they came up, you know, this guy has his eye missing, this guy, woman has her, all right. Didn't last one night, the marriage, right? But it's interesting, he said to her, if you think it's easy, to him, it's kashek kriyat yamsuf. To God, it's as difficult as kriyat yamsuf. Well, what's a kesher? Right, so of course, in the end, she admitted. Right, but, you know, what's the dialogue? You know, what's he doing since created world? He's making zivugim. I could do that. You think it's easy? To him, it's kashek kriyat yamsuf. What's kriyat yamsuf have to do with anything? The idea is like this. During the 6 days of creation, God made all the different cosmic forces. What's been happening ever since then is to pull the forces together in different combinations. And that's what it means, he's mezaveg zivugim. Right? We see, what's technology? All these forces were ever there since creation. But we're finding ways to combine these forces in all these neat contraptions. You know, harness and pull together all these, you know, as opposed to how they were just left separate. And that's the what still is being done. This tikkun of the Bria is called zivugim. Right, to pull the different forces of creation together in different combinations and permutations that create what we call, on the simplest level, it's called technology. All the contraptions that we're inventing. Right, but in Ruchaniyut, it's called that the kochot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up are now supplementing each other and improving each other by being supplemented. It's all called Zivugim. Right, the whole mitzvah of the tikkun of the cosmos is called one big shidduch. Right, and that's an amazing thing. That it's dinim, because din is what makes things separate, everything in its gvul, everything in its boundary, everything with its unique definition, and then you're pulling everything, with everything being special and separate, pulling it together in interesting combinations, right? And then you see how good din is, that chesed is that simple kind, that simple goodness, it's not an acquired taste. The goodness that's in din, and, you know, that's the surprise, that's the higher realization, right? So, Kriyat Yam Suf. So first I'll tell you an interesting word from my Rosh Yeshiva, Yaakov Weinberg, Zecher Tzayg V'Karsh Livracha. He said that the, interesting, he said a very interesting pshat al pi physics, right? What it means, that Zivug of Shalom is Kriyat Yam Suf, right? That the, you know, the, we're taught in physics, you know, the idea of the equilibrium of energy, right? For every action, there is a reaction of equal force, right? So therefore, right, the type of force that you need to put two separate things together is the same force that it takes to separate a pure oneness. And that's what it means. It's kasha kakriyas yamsuf, right? To bring two separate people together is the same power necessary like ripping the ocean, which is a pure oneness, apart, right? V'divur pi chacham chein, right? But to, you know, to go one step deeper, everyone knows that by Kriyat Yam Suf, there was a kitrug, right? The angels that prosecuted against Am Yisrael and said, Halol of the Avodah Zarah, Halol of the Avodah Zarah, why give preferential treatment to the Jews? They served idols. Hey, what happened in Egypt a week earlier? The angels were quiet. Angels were quiet, right? Of course, who took us out of Mitzrayim and did Makat Bechorot, right? Yeah, but by Kriyat Yam Suf, V'amayim Lem Choma, you know, V'atu Hechoma L'chema, there was, like, you know, divine anger there. As a word, it was a presence of anger. Right? The idea is like this, right? The, you know, when Yitziat Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach was pure chesed. It was pure chesed. You know, Memtet Sharei Tuma, Kosher took us out anyway. But that's not special. What's special is to deserve it. Din is what makes things special. It makes it that it's deserved. It's coming to you. You have it by right, and that's what makes you different from a goy. Chesed, there's no difference between Jew and Goy. Pure kindness. Well, you do pure kindness for everybody. Din is what makes things special, that he deserves and he doesn't. The Madrega of Kriyat Yam Suf was that, you know, that's what the angel said. All right, now, do they really deserve it? And that's the miracle of Kriyat Yam Suf that made it bigger, five times greater than Yitziat Mitzrayim, like the Haggadah says, Kamalakum Mitzrayim, Esra al Yam Chamishim. Without getting into why the number five, I don't have time for that right now, but it has to do with the fact that you have five separate fingers on your hand, right? Right? Getting into the details, right? Getting into the details, right? But it's more than that, right? But that's the idea of Kriyat Yam Suf is that, you know, Am Yisrael is different, right? Am Yisrael is different. We are different from the Goyim. We are different. And just like man and woman are different, right? Kriyat Yam Suf has clarified that there are differences. Right, there are differences in the Bria, and Am Yisrael is truly different from the Goyim. That was clarified by Kriyas Yam Suf. That's why the angels were able to prosecute there, because are we really different? That real difference is Bedin, right? And that's it. Right? Man and woman are really different, really different, right? And like Kriyas Yam Suf clarified how we're really different from each other. And even though really different, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts them together. Because that shows the divine unity, the divine power that's holding the world together. It's still a mystery to cosmologists today. What holds the universe together? They talk about gluons that they haven't seen. Dark matter, gluons. What's holding it all together? Everything should be pulling in its own direction. Shem Shemayim is pulling it together. And that Shem Shemayim is revealed with the unity of man and woman together. Zachu Shechina Shruya B'neihem. Right? And that is what's revealed with Binyan Beit HaMikdash on earth. You see the Shechina there. Because Binyan Beit HaMikdash represents all the powers of the cosmos converging to that one point in the Beit HaMikdash. And that's where you see the divine name that holds the whole cosmos together. And that's what the month of Av is really all about. It's about revealing the hidden divine name. And that's why, you know, when the month of Tu B'Av, when we reach the center of the month, even though currently it's a month of Din, seemingly without seeing the Chesed yet, we believe in it, and that's why we don't say Tachanun Tudor, we believe in it, we hear about it. Otet B'Shmiya, we hear about it, right? We don't see it, but still, the month of Av is the month of Av, and its innate power comes out in the middle of the month, on Tu B'Av. And on Tu B'Av, some of the love breathes through. All the higher chasadim that are behind the dinim seeps out a little bit. You could feel it, right? And that's, you know, and the goodness of seeing the good in the din and understanding how the din is for our benefit. So the fact that there are separate tribes, that's not a bad thing. It's not to create machloket. There's a way for that diversity to get together and create a greater whole, which, you know, a whole that has all these different colors and all this great unification of the great name, that so many different things could come together under the same God. The different tribes, Shevet Binyamin with the other tribes, men and women in general, right? The differences between them is, and they're supposed to be different, and they were designed different, and they should not be the same, and they shouldn't, you know, and separate restrooms, for sure, right? Right? Separate. That's the unity. That's the greatness of the divine unity, right? That only God is what holds it together. So that's a little bit of what Tubav is. Now on Yom Kippur, you know, is when we actually feel it, because on this day, Yom Kippur is the great day of reconciliation, right? It's a great day of reconciliation. We do tshuva, and our sins, we do tshuva me'ava avonot avnasol kishuyot, right? We convert everything bad into good, right? You know, one of the famous Hasidic masters, Rav Simcha Bern Prashischa, used to say, if I could, I would abolish all the fast days, except for 2 days, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Right, Tisha B'Av, because how can you eat? You know, basically, it's how can you eat? Yom Kippur, you don't need to eat, right? Because the body and soul are reconciled, you know. You know, if you do it right, you're not supposed to feel hungry on Yom Kippur. Right, the body and soul reconcile. They're in perfect unity. Right, so on Yom Kippur, it's like a day of latid lavo, where you're by mamish living in the future, right? And that's why it's a day of pure spirit and no eating and no drink, because you're like living in the future. You're like living in Olam Haba in your own time. Tu B'Av, you know, is, you know, we're still, you know, in this world, but a little bit of that hidden goodness bleeds through, right? And as a sign that we feel that Akash Hu didn't really divorce us with Tisha B'Av. It's just the opposite. It was too good for us to appreciate. And it's yet going to be the day when, you know, the month when we're going to have our great reunification with him, where the base of Mikdash that will never be destroyed will be built, b'mehera b'yameinu, right? Mm-hmm. Right? And with the Tu B'Av being the finality of the Chanukah Tabayit, right? As we explained, right? So we can even feel it b'zman hazeh. And it's, that's why it's a time, you know, it's a, the Ari HaKadosh says that there are 12 permutations of the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And they're keneged the 12 months a year. You work it out in your head. Now, there's 12 ways to spell Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, you know, because, you know, two letters are the same. So there's only 12 permutations, not 16. Right? So 12. The permutation for the month of Av is Havaya, which is the one word we're allowed to say. You know why we're allowed to say that? That's what we're allowed to say. Because it has a profane meaning. It means existence. It also means marriage. Like the Gemara says, Makish Havaya Liyitzia, right? Compare Kiddushin to, right? Havaya, right? So it has a profane meaning, so we're allowed to say it. But think about this for a second. Think about it. It has a profane meaning, that's why we're allowed to say it. That means that this divine name is the most hidden name. We can't see the divinity. It has like a Pashup Shat that's not divine. But what is that Pashup Shat? Existence itself, Havaya. Marriage, right? So again, illustrating the point, right, that the hidden goodness is the greatest goodness, and the greatest goodness, the greatest chesed behind creation, because there's dinim in creation. But the dinim in creation is for the purpose of getting to the higher goodness. That's an acquired taste, inside which we have to work for, right? And this higher goodness is the power of unity that comes out with every Jewish marriage of Zochu, Shechina, Shruya, Beneim. So, Ribor Shehelp, I guess I have to start tonight because I screamed at my wife a great deal on the way here because, you know, frustration. GPS wasn't working, right? But, but everyone, we have to take upon themselves Tu B'Av, right? You know, we have to realize that our marriages, that's our little remnant of the Beit HaMikdash. It's our little Zochu Shechina Shruya B'neim. Ham Sameach Chosam V'Kala Kilu Bana Achas Michorvas Yerushalayim. Right? So, and that's why you can understand why Chazal were so makbid on Shalom Bayis. Right? You have enough money just to either buy candles for Shabbos or wine for Kiddush. Which one do you buy?
Wine for Kiddush.
You want to vote on it?
Wine for Kiddush.
Candles.
Candles. Candles. Shalom bayis. What? Right. Right, but even if you have, that's it, you only have like one penny, you know, just you take the candle. You take the candle, mishum shalom bayis. Right? Because right, there's nothing worse than groping the door and banging into each other's, you know, whatever. That's not shalom bayit. That's what the Gemara says, mishum shalom bayit. And there's so many halachot that Chazal gave us, mishum shalom bayit. Right? What?
That's why we put two candles.
That's right, two candles. But you have it, even one, because nothing worse than, you know, in the darkness, and just, you know, you have to remember in their days, when nighttime was like absolute, no street lights, nothing, you know, dark was like, you know, banging into walls, mamish. It's like hell, right? So that's why, no, really, that's why, you know, that you have to realize that in their days, you lived in darkness at night. Mamish lived in darkness. So you have to, it's hard for us to illustrate, you know, the why, because Bizman Hazeh, you know, so let's just say halacha lemaaseh b'zmanze, you have the electric light that you could turn on lechvod Shabbat, right? If you really don't have candles, and therefore you would buy the wine because you have the electric light. And so in their days, you didn't have the electric light, and there are no street lights that, you know, come in through the shutters or nothing. Now you lived in absolute blackness. That's hell. You know, bang, you know, bang, 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 bang. So mishum shalom bayit, right? Right? You know, you have to have the candle, and the Rambam, when he says that halacha, says, you know, and also if it has to be a Shabbos candle or a Chanukah. Ner Chanukah, also, Shabbos candle, Mishum Shalom Bayit. Right? Nothing more important. Nothing more important, Shalom Bayit, because the whole, as the Rambam ends off, because the whole Derech of Torah is Derechei Adar, Chonot Tilotesh Shalom. What does Shalom actually mean? Right? Peace. You know, what's the root of the word? Shalem. Shalem. Whole. Right? That you pull all the different pieces together. Real peace is not, hey, if we think alike and we act like that, that's not peace. You know? That's not peace. That's just not fighting, right? Shalom is that, no, I don't think the way you think, and you don't think the way I think, and still we get together. That's shalom. And that's called shleimut, because since we're different, we're supplementing each other. I'm going to give you something you don't have. That's why it's shleimut. And that's why Shmo Shakarush Baruch Hu Shalom. It's one of the divine names, because real shalom is when there are opposites and differences, and they still are held together by the pure divine power. We rush for help with the, on this day, first of all, you know, Chazak is taking on to solve the Shidduch crisis, right? Yaniv is in charge, right? And Chazak is taking on to Shalom Bayis workshops, right? And which improve their Shalom Bayit, right? Because this is the last vestige of the Beit HaMikdash in our private lives. I mean, in public life, we have the Beit HaKnesset, which is the Mikdash Mat. That's in the communal. In our private lives, our last vestige of Beit HaMikdash is our marriages, Rosh Hashanah, which have that, you know, Shkira Shura Shruya Beneu, and to the extent that we're Marbe Shalom in our own households and help others build their households. So Adir Yivne Beito Bekarov, Bimhera B'Yamein.